Dominic in for Dave Plyer on 720 WGN. It was 59 years ago today that Julia Childs, the French chef, debuted on WGBH television in Boston, Massachusetts. 59 years ago today. So we talk about big game food with our favorite on America's Test Kitchen and Cook's Country on PBS. She's Julia Collin Davidson. Julia, thanks for joining us. How are you doing?
My pleasure. Nice to chat with you, Phil. Super Bowl coming up, huh?
Woohoo! Yes, it is. The big game.
Do you have a team in this game?
You know, I kind of like the Bengals.
Yeah, they're the underdog officially, right?
I think they are, yeah.
Yeah.
I think it's going to be a good game, and I'm looking forward to it. Looking forward to the food. Before we get to that, I have to tell you one thing. I did one of your recipes, and it's got rave reviews. I'm going to do it again and again.
Yay! And again. Phew! You could have gone either way there for a second. Which one did you make?
I did the beef tenderloin with the smoky potatoes.
Oh, yes. Yes, with this, it's the smoked paprika on those little baby potatoes that roast underneath the beef. So good.
And
so easy, too.
I did not do the relish because I'm thinking if you couldn't pronounce it and I can't pronounce it, I'm not going to do it. I'm not worried.
Oh, you have to do it. So that relish, persillade, however you want to call it, it's just parsley and cornichons. It can make cardboard taste good. Like, it is by far the, if you only learn one sauce, that is the sauce. There's no cooking. It's just chopping. You can use a mini chopper. It's just parsley, olive oil, some flakes, some aromatics, and you're good to go.
That's awesome. Awesome, awesome. But no, rave reviews, and the potatoes were so good. Oh.
Yeah. Oh, yay. Oh, I'm glad you liked that one. It's one of my faves, too.
Yeah, I might have to do that very, very soon again. So
it's a special occasion, though. That's a big piece of meat.
Now, I understand you have a new kitchen at home, too. Is this true?
Yeah, it's true. So when we bought the house, the first thing we did on the very first day after we signed the papers and went out, we took down a wall by ourselves to open up the kitchen because it was just too tiny. And then we did the kitchen ourselves using, you know, the least expensive equipment we could find. And we said it'll last 5 years. We made that little kitchen last a good 15 years. And,
wow.
I mean, it was, there were wood cutting countertops and they were warped so that things would roll down to the middle. There was a little bit of mold, lots of cracked tiles, lots of stains. There was one stain behind the stove that looked like the profile of Alfred Hitchcock, and that was actually my favorite one. But I was not, that was the only thing I was sad to see go, Alfred. But no, it's all, and it's the same footprint, basically. I went out, I Mac Daddy out on the counters. So these counters, I can't even remember what they are. Not granite, but the other one. Man-made stone. And they can just take a beating. They won't stain. You can put a hot pot on them. And that has just changed the game.
Perfect.
For me.
Can you ever have enough counter space, though? Really?
No, no. I like I said, I have a tiny kitchen and it's all counter space. I don't even have upper cupboards because I like the counters so much.
Very cool.
I want to use the whole thing. Yeah, yeah. So that's fun too.
So how long have you been at America's Test Kitchen?
Oh, goodness. I started there in 1999.
Wow.
So 22 years. When I started, it was just the magazine and that was it. And I was, you know, I was the lowest person on the masthead. I did the shopping and I did the dishes. And then slowly developed my first recipe and then another recipe. And then the TV show came along and then we started doing cookbooks. And they needed someone to be on the cookbook team. And I was sort of employee number one on the cookbook team. And then the other show came around, the other magazine came around. And then it just kind of, it got bigger and bigger and bigger. And I sort of moved up the ladder just because the place got bigger.
Sure.
And, I started at the bottom. So I feel like I know that place. I know the whole system pretty well inside and out.
You kind of know what you're doing.
Yeah.
Love your videos. Love all the information that you give us. I have a question though. You talk about, you know, different people and everything. Have you ever cook something and then it was like, oh, but you've got interns to do that, right? To work out all the kinks in the beginning, right?
No, that's us. Interns don't help. They help prep. But really, when it comes to the cooking of the recipe for recipe development, that's really done by test cooks and editors. Because you learn from cooking and making mistakes. Like, you, if you watch the food go wrong, you learn a lot. And sometimes when you're doing a recipe and you see the food go wrong, you kind of got to let it go wrong. Mm. And you might get surprised in the end and learn something new, or it might just be a total flop. I remember there's this one recipe, and it was for weeknight roast chicken, and Brian Roof was doing it. And this was in the old test kitchen. And there were a lot of electrical issues in the old test kitchen. And so he had chickens in different ovens at different oven temperatures, and the power went off, the ovens went down. And he was only halfway through roasting them. So the test was kind of bunk. No. But he left the chickens in the off oven anyway, just so that they could finish cooking and he could send them home to people so it wouldn't be wasted food. And they were the best chickens he ever made. And so he realized when you turn the oven off halfway through, there's enough residual heat in the oven and in the chicken. The chicken finishes cooking really slowly. And it was so juicy. And, yeah, I mean, so sometimes, you know, the mistakes are where you learn things. So,
sure.
Yeah.
All right, let's talk about the big game. Big food for the big game. Got to have it. I'm thinking wings, right?
Yeah. Oh, wings are standard, and there's so many to choose from. I mean, I love the standard buffalo. I'm from upstate New York, which is next to Buffalo, so somehow I feel like I can call that sort of my home area.
Hello.
I'm really picky about my buffalo wings. Like, I'm super picky. I don't like wings. I don't like it when the three sections are attached. You got to cut them off. You got to cut them up into the flats and the drums. And if you like the tips, throw those in too. So, but I don't like it when they're all attached.
So drums or flats, which one do you like better?
You know, I've changed teams on this. I used to be drums, now I'm flats.
Oh, all right. Cool.
Yeah, why? Are you drums or flats?
I've kind of switched as well. I used to be drums, but flats are now, I think, better. I don't know.
Yes. I don't know why. I think, yeah. But I won't turn either down, right?
Hello.
My favorite way to fry them is take the wings, pat them dry, salt and pepper, and, you know, a few other seasonings, chili powder, whatever, if you want. Toss them in a little cornstarch. No flour, no breading, just cornstarch. Hot oil. Get the oil up to 350, nice big pot. If you aren't allergic to peanuts and you can find peanut oil, they taste amazing.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Otherwise, just use veg oil or lard. I mean, if you can, why not?
Wow.
Good lard or good duck fat. Oh. And then fry them till they're crisp. Don't crowd the pan. And then it comes down to sauces, right? The Korean style with the gochujang sauce and lime juice is really good. Classic buffalo is my go-to. In my world, you have to make buffalo sauce with Frank's Red Hot. They are interchangeable. I mean, Frank's Red Hot is buffalo sauce.
100%.
So you gussy that with some brown sugar, a little butter, a little cider vinegar. So that's the standard. And then there's another style, I think it's out of Atlanta, with lemon and black pepper. I'm dying to try those. I don't know that those are fried, but those would be good. And then you can just have fun. I mean, teriyaki, sesame, whatever you want. But it's the frying that matters.
Got it. That's the key to the whole situation.
Oh, yeah. Absolutely.
What about something different other than wings for the big game? What do you recommend?
Mm-hmm. Well, lots of options, right? We're big on cheese boards here, and my daughter. And so cheese board's kind of swanky for the big game, you know, a charcuterie board. My daughter has convinced me, and we're going to try it on Sunday, to do a sarcastic cheese board. And so we're having a sarcastic cheese board is American cheese and cheese, those polyode string cheese. We're going to have, I think, pepperoni and, I don't know, that port wine cheese ball. And, like, it's just going to be real Triscuits. So it's not going to be swanky at all. It's going to be really easy.
Oh, that's
awesome.
And
so I'm looking for, maybe we'll throw some bologna on there. Like, I'm just really looking forward to it. It sounds fun and sarcastic.
Very.
She's a teenager, and so this really tickled her. So we're going to try that. I'm a dork. I like having vegetables around because I worry about all the junk food. So I always put some crudité out, but I make it better by putting it with a dip, either ranch or French onion.
Got it.
And no shame in your game if you buy your French onion dip. I'm kind of addicted to There's one brand in particular. I think it's Hell of a Good. That is my jam.
They
sell a party size. I mean, of course you can make one that tastes better, but the Hell of a Good has that, and I forget what it's called. It treads the line between like having enough flavor and not enough, so you need to eat more. It's just absolutely addictive.
I have so many more questions. Can you hang around for a little bit more, please?
I sure can.
We're going to take a quick break. We'll be right back with Julia Colin Davidson of America's Test Kitchen on 720 WGN. We learned that 59 years ago today, Julia Child's The French Chef debuted on television in Boston, Massachusetts. From a good friend, Julia Colin Davidson, we found out that, I love this quote, mistakes are where you learn in the kitchen. I think that's so important. So don't be afraid to try stuff, right? We learned that Julia has a brand new kitchen at home. We learned about wings, a little bit about what to do with that, the charcuterie board thing. Love that idea. Phil Manicki for Dave Plyer.
Dave's not here.
No, Dave is not here. You're right. So we go back with Julia Colin Davidson right now of America's Test Kitchen. Thanks again for joining us, Julia. We appreciate it.
My pleasure.
More on the big game in just a little bit. But I forgot to mention when I made the beef tenderloin.
Yeah.
I did the thing with the baking soda.
Isn't that crazy?
Oh, my goodness.
Yeah.
You don't have to sear it. But when you put the baking soda on, it's as if you seared it.
Yeah, because baking soda changes the pH and makes meat brown. But that's also a trick to use if you're browning meat in a skillet, like if you're making Sloppy Joes or shepherd's pie or anything with ground meat. Add a little bit of baking soda to the beef before you cook it. It helps it brown really quickly, but it also ensures that it stays really tender. I mean, it's magical. You can also rub it on other roasts, like chicken wings. If you're going to roast your chicken wings, especially for the big game, if you're not into deep frying, toss the wings with salt, pepper, and a little bit of baking soda and put them on a rack in the oven, and that skin will brown much better.
Perfect. All right, so we mentioned wings, the charcuterie board thing. What about something else for the big game? What else?
Tacos. You got to go tacos. Because I think you can do, I know boards are a big thing, and they're kind of fun because it's like a build-your-own taco. So you could just have stacks of tortillas already warmed in a tortilla warmer, and if you don't have a tortilla warmer, they're really inexpensive, and they hold the tortillas warm for hours. You can microwave the tortillas in that thing and it stays warm, or you can toast them on the stove and shove them in there. Mm-hmm. And then just have a couple different fillings. You know, you could have a carnitas filling, you could have a standard beef filling, you could have a vegetarian filling if you wanted, and, you know, all the fresh herbs and hot sauces and stuff and guacamole. And so that's fun. And it's also more filling, because I feel like a lot of this food isn't super filling. And sometimes if the beer's flowing, you know, you want a little more substance around.
Absolutely. And you've got so many options with tacos too, right?
Yeah. And I was trying to think, so, you know, and if you're going to think about the two teams, it's always fun to think about what food comes from those regions, right?
Ooh.
So L.A., L.A. is such a melting pot. You can really pick anything, right? But the other team, this is how much I know about football. The other team is from the city of
Cincinnati.
There you go. See, so Cincinnati chili.
You got to have Cincinnati chili, right?
Yeah, it's really easy to make. Again, use that baking soda trick when you're making it so that the meat tastes good and tender. If you've never had Cincinnati chili, it is a meat sauce that you put on spaghetti. It's like a chili, but the meat sauce has warm spices in it. And so it, like, usually some cinnamon, something like nutmeg. And then you put it on spaghetti. And then you can eat it, you know, different ways. There's one way, two way, three way. And all those talk about the toppings. Toppings are cheese and onions, and it goes on and on. So, and that's a classic. I mean, most people I know love the stuff.
Absolutely. We're talking with Julia Colin Davidson from America's Test Kitchen about the big game. You've got a new show coming up on Pluto, I've been told, right?
Yes. Yeah, my new show.
Tell us about it.
Yeah, it's called Julia at Home. It's on our Pluto channel, and it is me cooking in my house, and I'm making dinner. Basically, but I, you know, and it's all old recipes from ATK or recipes I love from the show that I like to make at home, and it's make them simultaneously. So it's like you're making a dinner. So what you start with, and then you go and you make the side, and then you go back to the main, and you finish the sauce, and so on. So a little bit of that. There's a lot of my dogs. When we're filming, I mean, the dogs are just running around the house. So dogs always come up and say hi. It's very low key and very homey.
That's awesome.
And it's really fun. Yeah.
I have to ask you about the air fryer trend. They're very, very popular. Mm. Yay or nay? What are you saying?
I say yay. But with a caveat that it's not for everybody.
Mm-hmm.
An air fryer is essentially a convection oven that is very small, that heats up in a matter of a minute. And so that way it's really convenient. It makes the best Brussels sprouts in the entire world you ever have, the air-fried Brussels sprouts.
Awesome.
I made them, and my husband and I, made this little sriracha dip that went with it that came out of our air fryer book. And we didn't even sit down. We were just eating them out of the basket. We housed them. It's great for side dishes. So if you have something in the oven, the air fryer is great for roasting vegetables. It's great if you have a small household for two people. You can roast fish. It actually makes some pretty good steak, believe it or not.
Really?
If you have a nice thick cut. Yeah, it gets really brown on the outside. And you're just cooking one steak or two little steaks. The thing is, the basket isn't so big. So if you're serving more of a crowd, it doesn't really work.
Right, right.
It's great if you want to sort of faux fry things with a coating, like a crust. It's like oven fried, but it's faster because you don't have to wait the 20 minutes or so that a normal oven would take to heat up.
Julia Collin-Davidson is with America's Test Kitchen. What about any new trends? Like the air fryer is hot right now. What do you see as a new trend?
Well, the Instant Pot is not going away. And I've always been a pressure cooker fan, and I was not so into these electric pressure cookers. Now I'm a huge fan. But that's because I make a lot of broth and a lot of soups and a lot of stews and a lot of beans. That's what I use for that. Sous vide is staying the course. They're expensive. They're pretty unique. I think for people who like playing kind of with something like that, it makes the best steak in your life, right? But it's not no work. It doesn't save you any work. It just makes really good food, but it's just a little more work. But it's fun.
Mm-hmm.
You know, the big thing is always, especially now that we're in January, February, are health-oriented things. And one thing kind of that's not going away is the Mediterranean diet, which I'm a huge fan of because the base of the diet is all about family and friends. It's more about culture and community and a little bit about food. And they have wine in their pyramid, which I think is smart.
Perfect.
So that's a big trend. And then everything, you know, being not necessarily going vegetarian or going vegan or going all plant-based, but incorporating more vegetables, less meat products, both for health reasons and for environmental reasons. And I think that's here to stay.
Got it.
So those are the big ones.
Julia Collin-Davidson, America's Test Kitchen, thank you so much for joining us. We've got some great ideas for the big game and a lot of information as well. Thank you, as always. Continued success.
Yeah, thank you, Phil. So nice to talk to you.